Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us as we face the issues each and every day. We'll be talking about a subject today that I believe is viable and necessary for us to understand based on the current era in which we're living. We'll be talking about the day that Jesus was indicted. I'm using that term because of what we see happening today with President Donald J. Trump. He's indicted. And during the course of this broadcast, we're going to give the chronology, the overview of Jesus and his Passion Week, the last week on earth, before he was crucified for your sins and for mine. But I want to have a nexus so that we will understand that the wicked, evil hearts of the political agenda has not changed over the past 2,000 plus years. We're still dealing with the same evil, wicked heart, the same modus operandi. We're dealing with the same issues. We're dealing with the same sinful hearts. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, and we talk about the day that Jesus was indicted, we're in Passion Week. If you study the scripture, it's called Passion Week. It's the last week of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. He entered into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey's back in the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. He did so, and they were singing, praising him, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Just 5 days later, they're saying, crucify him, crucify him. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into the depth of that today, and we invite your telephone calls. You can dial 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through the studios, right to our microphones as we entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. We'd love to have you dialogue today on this very, very important, imperative issue as we look at what is happening today, and we look back through the prism of time as to what took place with the Lord Jesus. Now, during the course of this broadcast, I want you to understand one thing. I'm not saying that Donald J. Trump is Jesus or comparable to that. Our nexus that we want to draw in this broadcast today is the fact that we're watching the same replay, watching the same scenario that took place with Jesus in his day. In fact, in the 15th chapter of Mark, the first verse, it says, and straightway, that means immediately in the morning of the chief priest, held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They had to have a consultation with the political leaders, the social leaders, and the religious leaders of that day, and they came to an agreement. And that agreement was, in Jesus' day, that they would have the phony charges, we'd use the term today, the trumped-up charges, that they would present to Pontius Pilate, the judge, over Jesus Christ, and whether or not he should live or die. That's where we're going today, and I pray that you'll join in the discussion. Let me remind you, as we face the issues each and every day, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the truth book. Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus makes the declaratory statement when he says, thy word is truth. And we find in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So I commend to you the truth book. We're in a society today where truth is rejected, truth is denied, truth is demeaned, truth is dashed to the wind. But yet we go back, ladies and gentlemen, even to a secularist, George Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, which, by the way, was written and published in the late 40s. George Orwell made this statement, which is so relevant today. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factually true today, ladies and gentlemen. And yet we find in the world in which we're living in America, in our society, some of the latest research says that 55% of the 18 to 35-year-old age group, that is, that would be the millennials, 55% say that each person determines their own version of truth. Now, that's frightening to me. I don't know about you, but it's frightening to me. It's that age group, ladies and gentlemen, that's coming into control of the social, ethical, moral, political, religious worldview today. And it's that view that says that everybody has his own truth, and that is simply unacceptable. Truth is truth. You cannot say that truth some way is changing each and every day. The truth is the truth, and it's the Word of God. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a statement that I believe is valid today. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I believe that era of defending the truth even to death is upon us. We're watching today as people standing for truth on the sidewalk in front of an abortion clinic is arrested simply for standing there praying or speaking the truth with a placard in the hand. Just recently down in Miami, a preacher on the sidewalk preaching, and yet there's rioting going on. Nobody's arrested, but the preacher is the one that is arrested for preaching. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to go back to seeking the truth, loving the truth, telling the truth, and depending on the truth and defending it even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the backup power equipment. And the knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. 11291 Old San Augustine Road, Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have a brief monologue. Then our telephone lines will be open for your dialogue and discussion on the issue as we speak on that today. We're talking about the day that Jesus was indicted. And let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number you'll dial in a moment is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the day that Jesus was indicted. This week is Passion Week. The final week, the Lord Jesus Christ, the final week that God incarnate walked on this earth. Jesus Christ, according to the scripture, had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh, became sin for us that we might be redeemed, that whosoever will may come. I believe that we, most all of us at least, recognize the theological facts, but have you ever considered? Let me ask you a question. It's a pivotal point of where we're going today. Let me ask you a question. Why was Jesus indicted, charged? Why was Jesus indicted? Why was he indicted and charged that brought about his death on the cross? Now, I understand, going back to the root of it all, I understand it was God's plan that a Savior might be provided. But I'm talking about from the human perspective as we watch the scene play out in the biblical text over 2,000 years ago. Keep in mind that on Palm Sunday, as recorded in Mark 11, 1 through 11, Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem. He was doing so in the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, that said that the Savior, Messiah, Yeshua the Savior, would ride in on a donkey's back. He did that. Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem in the fulfillment of the scripture, ladies and gentlemen. This begins Passion Week when he rides into Jerusalem. By the way, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ in his humanity did not lose his deity. Jesus Christ in his humanity did not lose all of his divine attributes of his omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence. Jesus Christ was still sovereign God, shrouded in human flesh, to come into the world to die on Calvary's cross. So Sunday he comes into Jerusalem, beginning Passion Week as we know it today. On Monday, the Lord Jesus cursed the fig tree, cleansed the temple of the money changers. Mark 11, verses 12 through 19. On Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen, Tuesday was a fact-filled, teaching-filled, packed day for the Lord Jesus Christ. On Tuesday, the Lord Jesus came into the position, was placed in the position, if you please, of being the tutor, the professor, the teacher, the enabler for his disciples. You see, Jesus Christ knew that Friday's coming. Jesus Christ knew that he came into the world to die on Calvary's cross. By the way, this is the reason in the biblical record, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was praying, asking God if it were possible to take the cup. He's talking about the cup of death, the cup of suffering, the cup of anguish, the cup of human torture, if you will, from him. But he relented and said, not my will, but your will be done. And ladies and gentlemen, by the way, that's a good example of how we need to respond when we're asking God for something. But on Tuesday, the longest day of Jesus' teaching, let me just give you a little overview of some of the things that Jesus taught his disciples, and yet edifying for us today. He taught his disciples about faith. We're talking about now Mark chapter 11, verse 20, through Mark chapter 13, verse 37. Two full chapters in the biblical record is an overview of Jesus' teaching on just one day. He taught his disciples about faith, taught them about forgiveness. He taught his disciples about his own authority. He taught his disciples about the future of Israel. He taught his disciples about paying taxes and government. He taught his disciples about his coming resurrection. He taught them the commandment to love. Jesus taught them about his deity. Jesus taught them about dangers of pride and giving. And in chapter 13 of Mark's gospel, ladies and gentlemen, and the parallel text in Matthew 24 and in 25, and then in Luke's gospel, chapter 24, and John's gospel, the 21st chapter, all of those what we call eschatological chapters, where it's talking about the future, and Jesus taught his disciples about the future and all of the future events of prophecy. Then on Wednesday, Jesus is anointed by the unnamed woman with the priceless, precious perfume that was poured out upon Jesus. Jesus said this was done to prepare for his burial. Ladies and gentlemen, it was then that I believe Judas Iscariot, based on the scripture, made a deal with the high priest. It was then when Judas Iscariot went in and made a deal. Basically, if you call it that, Judas Iscariot went into the high priest and said, let's make a deal. I know the man. I know where he'll be. I know what can be done. And so he made a deal with the high priest that he would betray the Lord Jesus Christ. He received 30 pieces of silver. By the way, when he realized what he had done, realized how Satan had used him, he went back and tried to return the money. The high priest refused it. Judas flung it on the floor. They said, we will build, we will develop a potter's field, a place for those to be buried in the future. He said, they said, the high priest said, after all, it's not right that we should take this money and use it for other things. They realized it was blood money. But ladies and gentlemen, on Thursday, we're talking about now Passion Week. We're talking about why was Jesus indicted. Giving you the overview, the historical chronology of what happened to and with Jesus the last week he's on the face of the earth. The last week God incarnate, Jesus Christ, is walking on this earth. On Thursday, Jesus celebrates his last Passover meal with his disciples. And the biblical records the fact that it is then that Jesus institutes the observance of the Lord's Supper that we observe even today in the celebration of the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in remembrance of me, Jesus said, when we participate in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. It was on Thursday, Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. And on Thursday, while in the Garden of Gethsemane, late in the afternoon, Jesus is praying, and he asks his disciples to wait at the gate. He comes back and they're asleep. He asks them again to remain and to keep praying. He goes back and prays. He comes back. He does that the third time. And finally, he says, sleep on. The hour has come. The one that betrays me is at hand. That's when Judas Iscariot walks into the entrance of the Garden of Gethsemane and places a kiss on the cheek of the Lord Jesus, which was his identifier for the ones that were there, thugs with badges. The soldiers were there to take Jesus Christ away. It was there, ladies and gentlemen, in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he is indicted after the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes consult. It's on early Friday morning after they've arrested him in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he's taken before the entourage, that it, in consultation, determine what to do with Jesus. Let me read that verse again. Mark's Gospel, the 15th chapter, the first verse, straightway, that means immediately. In the morning, the chief priests, it's early Friday morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. The consultation was with the chief priests, the elders and the scribes, and the whole council. And ladies and gentlemen, it's very much like the religious leaders and the political leaders of that day, very much like you find today in this current society, in the aura of wanting to prosecute President Donald J. Trump. We're going to talk about the nexus and the irony of how it looks with what's happening today in New York with President Donald J. Trump and what took place over 2,000 years ago with the Lord Jesus Christ. They trumped up some flimsy charges. In verse 1 of chapter 15 of Mark's Gospel, the scripture says, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered and said to him, thou sayest it. In other words, you're talking. The third verse says, and the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. I call that the silence of the cross. Having made the decision for the charges, they led Jesus away, taking him before Pilate. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. As we look at the text, as we look at the biblical record, we find in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find in the Synoptic Gospels that on early Friday morning, the wee hours of the morning, there's three trials. Each trial has two parts, a total of six-part phony, false, flimsy charges being brought against the Lord Jesus. And out of those charges, they're trying to ascertain, hear me, they have stacked the charges. Does that sound familiar? A leak out of the DA's office in New York, Alvin Bragg's office, leaked the information to the socialist Marxist media that there are 34 charges. How did the media know there are 34 charges? Usually that's sealed. 34 charges they've been touting now for several weeks. How did they know that? Because the leak out of the DA's office. But ladies and gentlemen, the point being, they indicted the Lord Jesus Christ, and the indictment was based on three charges. They stacked those charges, but they indicted Jesus Christ. They brought him to be charged. That's indictment, to be charged. They brought him before Pilate to be tried as a common criminal. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about the three charges that were trumped up against the Lord Jesus. Here's my nexus. Here's where we're going. Over 2,000 years ago, the same wicked, evil hearts of wicked, evil men were operative, just as we're finding today. Now, listen very carefully what I am not doing, what I am not saying. I'm not saying that Donald J. Trump is Jesus. I'm not saying that Donald J. Trump mirrors Jesus. But I'm talking about the irony of watching it play out in real time. The wicked hearts of the political mind as we found in the Lord Jesus Christ day. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is indicted and brought before Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea. So what are the charges against him? Three charges. According to Luke chapter 23 and verse 2, the scripture is very, very clear. We found this fellow perverting the nations. They charge him with treachery. They charge the Lord Jesus Christ with treachery. It sounds very much like the charges against President Trump. It sounds very much like January 6th committee, where it was orchestrated by Nancy Pelosi and other political pundits, the social media, the Marxist media, with the trumped up charges that the Donald Trump had carried out insurrection. We'll see that in a moment as a charge against Jesus. Treachery, ladies and gentlemen, treachery. The January 6th committee, we find after it's all said and done, the head of the committee even admitted they had never seen, they had never viewed, they had never watched 1 minute of the actual video footage of the surveillance from security cameras, cumulatively over 41,000 hours. They'd not seen any of that. All that they were shown were the excerpts that were expertly, professionally carved out, added sound to the background to make it sound and seem as though President Trump had committed insurrection. In fact, it is a sad sham that they have used every day, meaning the political machine in Washington, the Beltway, from the attempts on two occasions to impeach President Trump. And I could go on and on and on with what they've done. It is selective prosecutorial misconduct that's taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, that's what happened with Jesus, was selective prosecutorial misconduct. The one that was in prison, that was there for murder and for insurrection, Barabbas, was set free. Alvin Bragg in New York, setting free every day those that need to be prosecuted for murder, for rape, for robbery, for burglaries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There has been a 52% major increase of those in New York that should have been prosecuted, that's not been prosecuted simply because Alvin Bragg is a puppet bought and paid for by George Soros. Alvin Bragg campaigned on the fact that he was going to, basically, if you use the young blood terms, destroy President Donald J. Trump. He bragged about the fact that he was going to indict him even in his campaign for election. And here it is, going back to the basics of what I'm wanting us to understand today. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's before Pontius Pilate, and the indictment charges, the indictment is open, the indictment is read to Pontius Pilate, and the first thing that he's charged with out of the three trumped-up charges is treachery. The second thing is tax evasion. Does that sound, how would you say, familiar? Tax evasion. Luke 23, 1 through 5 says, forbidding to give tribute, that is taxes, to Caesar. They claimed that Jesus was telling his followers that they ought not to pay taxes, tribute to Caesar. This was what the Democrats charged Trump with, evasion of taxes, and somehow through their process, they got the Supreme Court even to agree that Trump had to release his tax returns. He did. A 24-hour news cycle of, ha, 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 we've got his President Trump's tax returns. Did you notice, ladies and gentlemen, after about a 24-hour news cycle, There's mum. Silence. Nothing has been said about President Trump's tax returns. Why is that so? They discovered that he was the first president in history that for his four-year term in office cost him money. He lost money being president of the United States of America. He didn't make a profit. He didn't get $100 to $135 million from China, as the Biden cabal has received. He did not have pictures that are worthless hanging in a gallery someplace, getting $500,000 apiece for them for influence peddling. So they were silenced. But ladies and gentlemen, with the Lord Jesus Christ, they charged him with tax evasion. They charged him with treachery. We found this fellow perverting the nations. Treachery. They charged him with tax evasion. That he's telling people, don't pay your taxes. You're tax exempt. You don't have to pay taxes to Caesar. Now listen, these are serious charges. But the one charge that stuck, the one charge that was the nail in the coffin for the Lord Jesus Christ was treason. Treason. Luke 23, verse 2 says, saying that he, that is Jesus himself, is Christ the King. Now, they could tolerate the other charges. They could go along with those other charges. But, ladies and gentlemen, saying that Jesus himself is Christ the King, the enemies of Jesus Christ and the church are searching for any charge today that will bring Jesus down in society. But so also, ladies and gentlemen, the charges against President Trump, that is of treason, insurrection, insurrection. That's treason. They've charged him with insurrection. They are still trying to make it stick on the charges of insurrection with the January 6th trumped up charges. You know, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've not heard this. Let me kind of illuminate your thoughts. The January 6th trumped up charges of insurrection against President Donald J. Trump. The Nancy Pelosi cabal had the speech of Donald Trump edited. What you've seen on television, what you've heard on radio, was an edited version where President Trump told the followers, just go to the Capitol and force them, let them know, et cetera, et cetera. But President Trump said, go to the Capitol peacefully, peacefully demonstrate, letting your voices be heard. All of that was edited out to make it sound as though he was calling on the followers to go there and to basically wreak havoc. Now, since the video has been released, Tucker Carlson had two or three episodes on television about it. I don't know why it ceased. Don't know why all of the video has not been shown. Don't know why Kevin McCarthy has not released all of the video to all of the news media and to the nation to pick it. I'd love to see it out there online that you can just go and watch it individually. But it's not been done. But they had trumped up the charges of treason. We call it today insurrection. Insurrection. Saying that Jesus himself is Christ the King. They were searching for a charge that they knew would stick under Roman law. The charge of treachery would not stick under Roman law. The charge of tax evasion would not hold water under Roman law. But to charge with treason under Roman law was a charge that required execution. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching that fast track today, and we're watching it played out today in New York as it's being charged against President Donald J. Trump. We want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that what we see happening today is on Passion Week, just as with Jesus' Passion Week, we're watching today where trumped up charges and an indictment is being carried out. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.